Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the path to self-leadership mastery and life success. Redefine how you lead as you redesign your business. I call this dual innovation leadership. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and effectively. Discover something new from our meaningful conversation today. Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's guest mentor is Debbie Unterman. She gets hundreds of emails daily. How did she catch the email from Bold Brave TV? Today's focus is about capitalizing on opportunities. It's about catching up with Debbie. This is our seventh podcast conversation. What we're focusing in on is Debbie's opportunity and kind of how her life has been going since we met, and what we usually talk about, what's going on in the world, because we need a lot of help from our alchemist hypnotherapist. Early in Debbie's career, she received a message from the universe, the astrology universe, that is, telling her things would really move in her direction later in life. Can you imagine? You're in your late teens, early 20s, and you get a tough message like, you know, there's certain things that are really going to all come together, but not until you're like in your 60s or 70s. I mean, wow. Okay. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Nancy.
Oh my gosh. Message from the stars.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, I was curious. I guess I sent away probably from some like little postcard in a magazine or something, have your astrology chart done. And it came back through the mail and I read it about 19 pages probably. And it was interesting. It was my first foray into astrology, which since then I've been deep diving for the last, 50 years? Oh my God. And it said my success was going to come late in life. So I waited. I think I've had some successes, but, you know, I feel like I'm finally really doing my purpose. I've always talked. Even school teachers used to tell my parents, well, Debbie's a great student, but it would really be wonderful if she would learn who's the teacher.
Came out a teacher.
And, you know, there was those little giggles in class that you can't stop. You know, you look at somebody in the eyes and you get those giggles. But, I mean, I really love talking. And when it came time to go to college, which I didn't even really want to do, I wasn't thinking. I did 12 years of school, well, plus kindergarten. That's all, just 13 years. But I was also in Hebrew school 3 days a week from third grade to eighth grade. That's a lot of schooling.
Wow.
So I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to college, but in a Jewish family, there is no choice. You are going. They start saving from the time you're born, and that's it. I didn't know what I wanted to major in. All I knew when I picked a school was I wanted to do a semester abroad, and I did. I ended up going to Paris in my senior year. So that was it. I had to get a school that didn't have any sororities or fraternities because I didn't want to be part of those kind of in crowds. I had enough of that in high school and I wanted to go abroad. But I found out that for the first year it was available in 1971, there was an interdisciplinary major of interpersonal communications.
Oh,
and I said, well, I love to talk to people. So that sounds good. And, you know, you have a daughter in college now, so I know you'll understand this. I got to pre-register in the speech section, English, sociology, psychology, anthropology. I got pre-registration into all of that because it was interdisciplinary.
Oh, that's terrific. Wow. So you had no problem getting into classes.
So, yeah, I got photography was the hardest one. Had to go at 8 a.m, which would not be something that I would ever do, but it was the only way to get into photography. But, you know, I didn't want to be a psych major because it was Skinnerian. If you know Skinner, B.F. Skinner, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He's behavioralist and they had to experiment on rats. And I knew even then that I didn't believe in just, you know, nature, nurture, that it's all behavior. So I felt like a psychology major, but I was learning how to speak to people and getting all the psychology, sociology around that. And even during college, I had a radio show.
Oh, and now you're coming back to your roots.
And not only that, I had another radio show before I moved to Atlanta. I lived in a little town in upstate, it's not called upstate, in Northern California, where the mountains make it almost impossible for FM waves to get through. So it was a town with no radio, really. So we decided to start our own public radio station. And it was a long process. Redwood Community Radio was in the Redwoods. And when they said, okay, we need some funding for it, I said, I'll do it. Two people volunteered. I went around to every single store on the one street town and got $100 from 65 of them to make our first $6,500. The other guy, I think, got six. I think we started with $7,100 in the 80s. It was the lowest amount any public radio stations ever started with. I made almost all the money. So they gave me a radio slot, a DJ and a talk show slot.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And I became the underwriting director because it seemed like I could I could bring the money in for it.
Yeah.
But 1 year after that, with the whole buildup to it, and it was my love, I had a weekly radio show. I was starting to do the alchemical hypnotherapy already, and I was talking about health. It was right when AIDS had started. I had people talking about that, all sorts of topics. It was great. And I felt led to leave where I was living up in Humboldt County. I felt like I was being sent back to the East Coast where I had grown up. I said I would never come back. So I had this show for a year from June to June, 88 to 89, and I left it. And it was so hard, but I knew, 87 to 88, I got here in 88. I knew that I was being led to spread alchemical hypnotherapy, or I call it alchemy, to places beyond California where it was going to be stuck. I moved to Atlanta. I've been here now for, 35 years? I mean, it's hard to believe.
Wow. Your background is so fascinating, and there's so many things that you have done. Every time we talk, I just feel like you've got so much experience in helping people and working with people and doing all these different entrepreneurial activities, exploring the world. So to give the audience a little bit more about your background, so not only is Debbie a clinical hypnotherapist and alchemist, she's an author, mediator, speaker, and game inventor. She likes to help see things clearly in non-traditional ways. In her book, Talking to Myself, Learning to Love the Voices in Your Head, Debbie describes an array of characters she says we all have rattling around in our brains, such as the judge, the rebel, the victim, and maybe even Ms. or Mr. Perfect. As a master alchemist and trainer, she's been delving inside people's heads for over 40 years. She's achieved proven results with clients suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, sexual abuse, depression, codependency, phobias, anxiety, lack of direction, sex and relationship issues, and you name it, Debbie can address it. But even though she can help you work through issues, she's very interested in creating a new paradigm of playing through your issues, which is a podcast episode that we had together. And she does with hundreds of people who are playing your transformational board games of clarity and Satori, the game of radical forgiveness. Alchemy hypnotherapy is an interactive trance process. It helps people heal the root causes of emotional, physical, spiritual, and psychological issues. Debbie Enerman facilitates this timeless therapeutic practice by guiding clients to access their own positive inner resources, empowering her clients to love the voices in their heads. And you mentioned off air or actually in a prior episode that we thought we taped, but we didn't.
Oops.
Big oops. So you mentioned that you help clients love the voices in their heads. And isn't that the main idea behind your new Bold Brave TV series? You signed on for an entire year, 52 weeks, every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah.
Yes, I call it Love the Voices. I had a few possible names. I showed my brother the list, and he picked out Love the Voices. I didn't know if it would be something that people would understand. But the reason I like it is for multiple reasons. One is it's part of my subtitle of the book, Learning to Love the Voices in Your Head. So it has that right in there. But also, I want to hear from lots of voices. I want people to call in. But what I do is teach people not to just throw out. I see so many subject lines on those millions of emails that I get that say things like, get rid of that inner critic, you know, and they think you can just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just you have some voice in your head that's criticizing you, just get rid of it. No, you can't do that because it comes from somewhere. You need to find out who used those kinds of words. If it's a preachy type of voice, it might have come from a religious leader that told you things, and now you have that voice stuck inside of you. And if you really stop to listen, you'll go, oh, yeah, maybe it wasn't the preacher. Maybe it's my mother always said things like that. And, you know, I know that people say all the time, I can't believe I hear those voices that my mother used to say coming out of my mouth when I yell at my kids. I would never say that again. And there I am, because it's unconscious. It's programmed in.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to find out what programs don't suit us anymore.
Yeah. And I would like to just thank you, too, because you've worked with me, released some of the trauma that I've had. So I just can attest, you know, to how powerful the work is that you do, and you do it in a way that's really acknowledging and a little more playful. It's serious, right? But it's you don't want to take yourself too seriously. You want to be able to sort it out, and your insights always help. It, like we played the clarity game too. I mean,
yes.
So there's just different parts of the journey that we're on, you know, that help us, that you help, you know, give insight to what might be the larger thing going on. Like you know, the context of the world and the context of the time based on astrology and the context of what the experience is for us.
I do. I guess the occupation of coaching has grown so much that I don't know where what I do as the therapy ends and where you might call it coaching would come in. But I am not a certified coach, although I have clients that have been working with me for over a year now. I have three very long-term, talk about three long-term clients. I have a couple, the woman's been coming to me. We kind of freak out when we go back and say, has it been 5 years? And then she's brought her husband for his own private therapy sessions, and they come together. And I've been following that family. And then her sister needed some help, and her husband. I feel like I know their whole family. When they work on screens, too, you get to meet the kids, which I like. And I actually sometimes go to people's houses. I've seen where they live, or on a screen, you can see where somebody lives. So it is a similarity sometimes to a coaching that I do to help people to track where they've been and where they need to go. Like I have one client, one of those ones that's been more than a year, because I saw her when she was pregnant. Then after the baby was born, it was her second child. She started bringing the baby with her. And she has another child, and I've worked with her husband too. And she was so clear when she was pregnant. She did so much research that I knew she was going to become some sort of birth coach, because she was telling me things I've never heard. Nancy, did you know that if you've had 4 cesarean births, that you cannot have any more children? She's the only one that told me that. They don't tell you that. She did so much research. I knew that this was her forte. And yet now that the kids are, you know, over a year old, and the other one's 3 going on 4, I could see that she had forgotten that that was really what she was meant to do. And she started thinking, okay, I'm going to do early childhood development. But I had to say to her this week, that's not your forte. I heard you a year ago, and I know what's really in your heart. And so sometimes from knowing them, from working with them, it is in our discussions, not just in the subconscious work, which is what I consider to be what people are paying me for, to go into subconscious sessions. I've had to learn, nope, I'm more valuable than that. I can put things together. I can track people. I don't even know what to call it, what I do, because sometimes people pay me just to talk.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing also, like working with business owners, especially family-owned businesses, the generational patterns that can be built, like in the culture that you create. But you're talking about generations of families that you're working with, and you can see patterns and ways because of that, you know, that you can help heal their trauma and also hold them to account of, you know, what you're hearing is really in their soul and their heart that they need to be working on, that they've told you, but somehow through the process, it's kind of gotten, you know, hidden or somehow buried, which can happen when you're raising kids.
Yeah, you're so in the moment of where they are now that you forget where you were.
Yeah, exactly.
This client really needs to work with pregnant people because she did so much research. And right now, pregnancy is it's hard right now being pregnant, because the, you know, laws and hospitals and nurses and doctors are having to quit sometimes because they're afraid of being sued. And the maternal mortality rate is insane in the United States. What are we, something like 24th in the world?
Right. We should
Why?
Be number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had to fight with her. You know, sometimes I don't want to be like, I know best. But sometimes I have to tell people more of what I know about them compared to what they think, you know,
well, and
as
that's
ruminate.
That's part of the coaching element, I think, that's becoming more focused on in therapy. You know, you're listening, but also you're speaking up and coaching them of how to do things differently, or to bring them into, you know, what they've said in the past, or, you know, but, you know, you're connecting with them on a deep level to understand them. And we all need nudges, and we all need like, especially if we're addressing, like, I remember when Matthew and I got married, we made a commitment to each other to call each other, you know, when we're bringing dysfunctional patterns that we grew up in,
that's
into
great,
our relationship. And we've always had that pact going strong since 2000, and we're continuing that. I mean, that has really helped us. And we're not confronting each other in like a negative way. It's really a supportive, growth-oriented way. Like, we're both growth oriented. And so we're both trying to learn from life experiences. And when we're bringing something that isn't feeling right and bringing us backwards, or, you know, making us small, or, you know, it's important that the other person lets us know, you know?
That's a model relationship that you have, Nancy. And that's one reason you have been together. How many years is it?
We've been married since 2000, so 23 years, and
Wow. We
dated for 4 before that.
Wow. And you have a college-age daughter, and you're a family that is united, that's not broken. And that's because you're both growing and you're willing to communicate with each other. That's brilliant.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for acknowledging that, because I just, sometimes you can just kind of take it for granted. And now we've added a dog to the mix, Letty, and that's been very helpful too, because it's like another person we can love, our little snuggle bug. But as Letty has brought so much joy. It came from my sister. She's a dog breeder and of miniature schnauzers. And Letty's had nine litters. She's made so many families happy. And Monica, had her to the vet and said the vet said she could have another litter. And Monica said, I think she's done. I'm retiring her. And so we joke about she's at her retirement home with us.
Yeah, good dog.
So
She
we're just
deserves
loving
you,
her
and you
up.
deserve her because you're going to be empty nesters soon. So you're
Yeah.
filling the nest.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
It's been
better to
a
have it
it's
at the same time before you're totally just like, she's gone.
yeah, not only this point in our life, but Matthew's always loved dogs and has always wanted one. And I just thought the timing, came together now. And Olivia gets a chance to still, enjoy Letty because she's home a fair amount. But yeah, you're right. It's nice to as the nest is getting emptier,
Yes,
that we've
a
got some
slow transition.
newness into it. Yeah.
Where you started by saying it's been since 2017 since we've seen each other. That is true. That is in person. But you are proof that the work that I do works really well on a screen because we were not in the same room when we did a session. It was over
Oh.
a Skype.
Yeah, we did the clarity game even
And
too.
we even, but don't tell too many people about that. That was special. I don't want to start doing that over screens, but yes, it's geared up for
I can
you.
see. Yeah, it really works in person. And because you and I had kind of a history at that point, because I think we
Yes.
did it right before COVID. Because we had the history, I think it worked. But the
Yeah.
game really, you like also having more participants.
I like not having to explain everything over a screen where we're all together and all the dice are rolling and the cards are coming and everybody has their own in
Final.
front of them. It's much easier than trying to do it all myself and then tell the other person. But you were great when you played that game. You took it seriously and you got through an issue, I remember. It was
Yeah.
something serious that you dealt with. So I was
Yeah.
proud of
Well,
you.
oh, thanks. Yeah. I'm sure we'll address it at another time.
Because you can play through your issues where it's not like pulling teeth. You see it in the
Right.
game board, you get the card that tells you something and you go, ooh, I wonder why that came up. I guess I better address it. And the
Yeah,
universe
and
picked it for you.
well, that's what I think is so phenomenal too, because sometimes if you're going through on a regular basis to therapy, you're kind of inching toward talking about like some of your deeper issues, your traumas. But with the game, it kind of comes out naturally. So it doesn't feel like there's this buildup to talking about this. It just feels like wherever I'm at right now is, I can handle it, and you'll give the insight. I totally trust your perspective and trust you as a therapist, with your insights that, and you have my best, interest at heart. And you're really good at reading the energy and the spirit, and so. It really resonated with me a
Yeah.
lot, both individually in the therapy session, and we didn't do a lot of sessions. With the clarity game, but also we did one powerful session that kind of just released,
Something important from your childhood. Yeah.
letting go of my parents, letting them just be who they are and who they were, and releasing any of that weird connection that we had when I was young. I don't know about weird, if the right word is weird, but anyways, I think we have these relationships with our parents, and if they're severely dysfunctional, where I felt all my life I had to preserve my soul, or my dad would take it from me.
Ooh, talk about giving away power. Yeah, and holding on to your power. That's good that you could do that.
Yeah, I started in college, and I think, and I, that's why too, I didn't get married younger than, you know, I was almost 40. I was 39. Because I just felt like I needed to do the work on myself. And it wasn't like I didn't have, you know, relationships with other people, but it took so much to figure out my relationship with a man and how the contribution connection between the two of us. And like, I didn't feel like I was ready. I felt like I was still healing a lot of, and even though the healing kind of continued as, you know, as life does, that you, you know, if you're alive, you know, there's things that are going to happen to you that you need to work through. And as a society, as, you know, people in relationships, and it's okay. But I felt like I needed to really, if I wanted to change a family dysfunctional pattern, that I needed to first do it myself and figure out what I needed in a partner. I didn't even know. I just know that I did not want to be, you know, when you talk about the rebel instead of the voices, you know, big rebel, like you try to control me, buddy, and you're out of here. So, you know, I would not have that in a relationship. I was an important person. I feel like I value myself, and I will, you know, anyone coming into my life, I just feel needs to bring value. I value people in general, but there's so many narcissistic people in the world, and I've attracted a lot of them. When it comes to self-respect, I'm ranked high.
And you were 39, I think you said, which is probably a lesson. I mean, if we think about the 50% divorce rate, how many kids get married way too young? And maybe that's part of the success of your, what do you say, 23-year marriage. That could be why, because you waited for that maturity, that time, and you let go of the narcissist and you didn't jump in. You were lucky, and you did it the right way.
Oh, thanks. Well, I feel like, you know, everybody, you know, whatever people need to do to kind of work through the different layers, but they need to do that. I don't think there's one way to get through this world. I just feel strongly that, to claim yourself, you know, and your self-worth, the earlier you do that, the better you will be, and the better you will be in all your relationships. And people in relationship with you will really appreciate that, you know, because there's lots of room to really have beautiful relationships with people. I didn't think it could happen, but my birthday's coming up and I'm reflecting on being 62. And I was just thinking, you know, I really feel fortunate that I've always had people in my life who have come in my life with my best interests to help me along the journey. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm hoping everyone can have that.
I'm glad that you were so self-aware, and so was Matthew. It just sounds like you did it right. You worked on yourself. And can you imagine the world if everybody did that before jumping in? I mean, the projection that goes on that he's the one, she's going to complete me. They're wrong. They're just in some kind of feel-good pattern, and it all falls apart sometime after the wedding and the babies and death of a baby or something, and it's nothing solid that they've built that will last.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing with my Catholic background that I just didn't. I believe that we all benefit from participating in something that's spiritual and can be, you know, religious, and the traditions are good. Where they get destructive is, you know, in mind control and body control. I didn't buy into any of that stuff with the Catholicism, because at the time that I was growing up in the 70s, you know, the pedophile priest stories were starting to come out. And so I didn't really trust priests from that point forward. Like, it took a lot for me to feel like I could, you know, grow in my faith from priests. But anyways, getting back to like procreation, the message of women to save yourself for marriage, the thing that I learned about, you know, being with other men intimately, you learn more about who they are. And so if they have severe control issues, they normally don't come out until you start having sex. And then it's like you find out who they really are. And by that time, if you're married already, you're already setting yourself up for a very harsh, hard life to live with someone who's trying to control you like that. And I just found the most freeing relationships are the ones where men feel self-confident within themselves, and they're not defined by their religion. They're not defined by society. They're defined by, you know, how they have carved out their own personhood. They become a really awesome human. And, you know, once you get going on that path, you want more. You want to discover more about your own humanity, your own compassion, your own natural gifts that we are all divinely placed with us when we're born.
Yes, wow. And I think you've maybe led us into what we might talk about on our next podcast again.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that sounds
you've
terrific.
You said a lot right there.
Yeah, I really did. And, you know, this is the way you bring things out of people that you don't realize, you know, that this was today's message. But I wanted to reinforce that we decided to talk because you got this beautiful email from John Kelly, the founder of Bold Brave TV, who wrote you this beautiful email that caught your attention and asked you to be on this show and offered you a year contract.
Yeah. Do you know Carolyn Mace? She has a set of cards and a book called Sacred Contracts about archetypes. So
yes.
What I do, I call subpersonalities. She's calling them archetypes. It's very similar. We have little differences in how we define them. She's been giving away a little free workshop series she's been doing for the last, let's see, 2-3 months. Every week, she talks about another archetype. And she just came out with the Alchemist archetype. And she said she did not think so much about it until she had to start really delving into it because she was going to talk about it. And she realized that it's so important that in some ways, everything is alchemy because everything is changing. It's that transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And I just heard something very interesting from someone else about that. I went back, I think it was on TV, and I rewound it like 3 times so that I could hear what they were saying.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about like body mind, and they said the head of the caterpillar has to fall off before it becomes a butterfly. So in other words, all those things that go on in your head, you need to be more in touch with the body wisdom, the things that are speaking in ways that we can just create nonsense in our head.
Yeah.
You know, we can regurgitate things that people have told us or belief systems that we somehow bought into that aren't true anymore, or maybe they never were, but we bought into them.
Yeah.
And so there's so much wisdom in the intuition of the body. They say the heart has its own energy field that they can show on electromagnetic. It's beautiful. It goes out like kind of like a big heart. The gut, the wisdom of the gut. We talk about having our instinct and it, you know, our gut said something about it. So when we stop being so concerned with thinking, you know, sometimes it just becomes stinking thinking, rumination. We start
right. Yeah.
Feeling into what we know in a different way, that is transformative. And so Carolyn Mace began to really love the Alchemist archetype and realize it's all about healing, letting go of those things that no longer serve, taking all those disparate elements and that, you know, those icky emotions and thoughts and turning them into something beautiful, transforming into really the person we were meant to be before it took us from who we were as a child. I just spoke in my podcast, my show yesterday about the quote I put at the beginning of my book from a Romani gypsy. It says, "The mark of greatness is being true to one's own seed and nature." And that seed is planted somewhere in our body, not really in our head. It is to be found, but it's deep. We have to dig to get back to our true nature. And that's what alchemy is about.
Wow. That inner light. Got to capture it.
Yes. Out of the darkness. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Well, this has been terrific. Thanks for being such a good sport. And I'll be tuning into your Bold Brave TV show on Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Debbie, you're just a joy and a beautiful spirit. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks, Nancy.
Do you want to expand your leadership skills and become more resilient and competent as a business owner? Do you want to bring more meaning to your relationships and more purpose to your business? Are you ready to take charge of how you innovate, create, and run your business? Our dual innovation leadership process will help you redefine how you lead as you redesign your business. We collaborate with you to do what will work for you as you evolve and change. We start with where you are, whether you are turning around a financial crisis, growing to the next level, or somewhere in between. We address your immediate needs, shore up business development gaps, expand relational literacy, and build upon your entrepreneurial leadership skill sets with a short-term results orientation and a long-term perspective. Start by subscribing to this podcast at wementor.com or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you are ready to hire a mentor, contact me at nancy@wementor.com. When we mentor, you create better life and a more fulfilling future. As an entrepreneurial leader / innovator, as a competent business owner / practitioner, as a mentor / role model, and as a human being courageously living a meaningful life. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. Get involved today. It's never too late to change your life and how you lead.